So, my dear, the day you have always dreamed of has arrived. The day you become Bride of Chaotica!
Hello!
Sorry, go again. Go again.
No, it's kind of a thing now. I like it. Hello and welcome to, and remember, I sound the same every time I do it, so yeah. Maybe this is good for me.
Hey guys. It's like me doing it yourself too.
Hello and sorry. Hello. Welcome to the Brides of Chaotica. I fucked it up. Hello and welcome to the Brides of Chaotica, Chaotica Star Trek. Oh fuck, I can't do it.
Wait, I can't read it. Wait,
no, hold on. Again. Hello. And welcome to The Brides of Chaotica, a chaotic Star Trek podcast. I'm Taylor, a bona fide Trekkie.
And I'm Morgan, and I just know that the one...
No, wait, you don't...
Wait.
What do you know about Star Trek?
Hold on.
Never mind.
Hi, and hello. My name is Morgan, and I just know about Star Trek some few episodes.
That was great.
Thank you.
Join us as I show Morgan, Elizabeth, Josie at some point, probably Callie next for sure. Mm-hmm. Episodes of Star Trek that I love and they have no context for as I try to slowly indoctrinate the world into Star Trek fandom.
Yes. What a great mission statement.
I do think that's a good mission.
That is a
that's also a great thesis statement for an essay.
It is.
I think.
Hi, do I have you're a podcast ambitious. Voice?
You could say yes, it won't hurt my feelings.
Only when you're doing the interview.
God damn it.
Not the interview, the
intro.
Intro.
God damn, I really can't do these speeches by myself.
No, it's hard.
I'm not allowed to do Shakespeare.
It's hard when you also, when it's like your own thing. Because it's like, oh, I have to do it. Like, I have to perform it. And it's like.
Yeah.
I get the same way. My Shakespeare voice is to be so bad. So bad.
I feel like I've made a lot of progress on my Shakespeare voice.
You have.
It's just that end speech because I don't know what. But it's exactly. Hard.
It just habits come up when you just feel like you don't want to do it. And same. Like yesterday when I did Lady Anne and that voice, that was my Shakespeare voice to its fullest extent.
I see, interesting.
Crazy, 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 crazy.
Elizabeth needs to text me back. Sorry, I was just thinking about how I've had so many guest hosts, which is fine. No, that's not shady. I will be selling this to Elizabeth to her face, and I'll be like, girl. Anyway, what do you know about Strange New Worlds?
Is that a whole, that's a whole other series, right?
Mm-hmm.
Strange New Worlds?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it reminds me of a Disney movie I once watched where
the Strange Planet?
Yeah.
That's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I love
a lot
movie.
Of colors and imagery.
Did Callie and I ever finish watching that?
It's a good movie.
We definitely started
watching that. I don't know if I can say that on this on the podcast, but the first time I watched that, I was high as fuck on mushrooms with James.
You can say
and
that
we
on
were
the
like, we were like, we've never seen this movie, and we put it on. We were in some cabin in the woods because we were like camping. Mm-hmm. Not camping, but like, having a little, it's like staycation.
Woodsing.
Yeah, woodsing. And we were like, that looks like a cute movie, and we put it on, and we were like, oh my god.
That's a good one for mushrooms,
it
I imagine.
It really was.
I don't know if I'll ever find that out.
It really was.
I don't, all drugs scare me.
But, recommend it if you're high on shrooms or not.
Or not, because I've watched it fully sober, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
I do love that. Or was the first time was I high on weed?
If you do get high, watch it high. If you don't, do a bunch of jumping jacks and breathe a lot and then watch it and it will be a similar experience.
All right.
Trust me. Frosty.
So you don't know anything about Strange
New Worlds? Nope, not at all.
Do you remember that you have kind of watched an episode of Strange New Worlds? It's one of the more recent ones. Do you remember that musical episode I showed you?
Yes. Yes. That's Strange New Worlds?
That's Strange New Worlds.
Okay. Okay. I like the vibe. Mm-hmm. It's very modern. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah. Like, it's supposed to be in the future anyways. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Also, if you hear people come in and out of this recording, we are, in fact, at school.
In the studio. In the studio.
Because who has time these days?
Yeah.
Not me. That's for damn sure.
Except for today.
Except for today. Right now. Okay.
Yeah.
So do you remember any of the characters from Strange New Worlds?
See, I remember their faces, but I don't remember their names. Mm-hmm. But I remember the one girl.
Oh, that's great. It's a great start.
The one girl was saying about the... Okay, I'm trying to remember the plot of the episode that we did watch. Because the one girl wanted to get the fellowship.
Ooh, that's Nurse Chapel.
Nurse Chapel. Is she gay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that
makes a little sense. Bit. Yeah, she is.
It's a namesake, I guess. Now you have to be gay. I can't remember if I'm misconstruing this for a completely different series, but there's one guy, this is so vague in my memory, the guy that, someone's fucking in that episode, someone fucks in the episode, because the one guy, he's like, it's so vague, I wish I could remember it, because it was so good. He was like,
What?
Song I feel about? Like it's, was there, I don't think there was a song about it.
Oh.
What was that? No, Taylor, help me remember this. There was an episode that we watched that was like, there was a guy, was it Riker? It couldn't have been.
Right.
Because that's a different.
Everybody.
No, I know that.
In the positive, wonderful way.
Yeah. But. I can't remember. I think I'm misconstruing that episode for an episode where Riker was like, this is my girlfriend. Love her.
What are you saying?
Clearly. No, I don't remember.
No, you don't remember.
I don't remember. Can you just tell me what the episode is about?
Yes. Prediction time. Do you remember the characters from Lower Decks?
Yes, I do.
We just watched that.
I remember, yes. Mariner. Mm-hmm. The one with the eye thing.
Mm-hmm. Who else?
The other guy. The guy that... Oh, what's his name? The one that plugged the computer into the thing.
Boimler.
Yeah, Boimler.
Boimler is a
good
one.
Love Boimler.
I do love Boimler.
I feel like I relate to him the most out of everyone on that show.
I wish we had more time with Tendi, because I feel like I'm Tendi. Tendi's the green one.
Yes, yes. I like Tendi as well. Yes, I remember the characters.
Perfect. Now, Morgan.
I always hate this. I always hate predicting them. Because I'm always so confident, because I have to go full into it.
Because you have to be confident.
I have to be confident,
no,
and I'm never
you can't
right.
half-ass it.
Never
okay,
right.
Let me pull up my little timer. We're going to do, we're going to do 3 minutes. What?
Kelly just told me in that picture that she said, you look high as fuck in a good way.
Okay.
Don't put that in the podcast.
No? You don't want me to?
I already talked about mushrooms. I don't care.
Okay. So, this episode is from Strange New Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Mm-hmm. And it is called Those Old Scientists.
Oh my god. obviously this is about...
Wait.
Oh.
Timer. Okay.
Obviously, this is about the people in the... that ship. And they go, maybe not back in time, but they come across, like, writings or, like, experiments from scientists of, like, right now. And they're like, ooh, they were onto something here. Or they were like, they're dumb as fuck. But I feel like it's something they come across what would be old science. And they have to use it for something or figure it out for something. Like a cure for someone or a situation that they may be in.
Okay.
I'm trying to get less specific so that...
No, get more specific.
Okay, so they find the papers, right? And either someone's, like, got shot with a phaser from one of the guys. And then the... Stop laughing. This is... Trying to make a prediction. This is really serious because someone's life is on the line, okay? And they have to go back and they're like, this disease that's in this person that got shot with a phaser is... We need this science. Oh, this is always... It, like, starts okay and then it just goes downhill from there.
Science.
Or it could be, it could be a medical thing, but it's probably also, like, the ship.
Mm-hmm.
That they're like, oh, or they have to come over, they have to fight scientists.
Oh.
The old scientists to get their cures. To see their wares.
To see their wares.
Yeah.
Not confident with that one.
That one's on the bottom of the bucket in terms of, like, my first one is, like, they find the old writings that I'm just trying to set myself up for success here and cover a lot of ground.
Wait, so which one do you think it is? Do they find old scientists or discover old science or do they...
Maybe... Girl.
I don't remember the other one.
Maybe, I'll just go with which one I want it to be, because for entertainment's sake, I would want it to be that they find scientists that, like, cryo froze themselves, and then they have a fight over it. Who's the better scientist? The old scientists or the new scientists?
You know, that is not this episode. However, there is an episode of Star Trek Voyager where something quite similar does happen.
Okay. So it's in the world.
It has happened. Alright. I'm really excited for this episode, and I think you're going to really enjoy this episode.
Like, I really need to watch it.
I'm really excited.
These old scientists.
Those
old-ass scientists.
Do you know what the, do you know what TOS stands for?
TOS?
Star Trek world.
Too often sleeping.
Oh god, Morgan, you're so TOS.
I don't know.
That's not true about any of the people in our apartment, actually.
Too often. What does it stand for?
We're gonna go, I'm not telling you. Right. We're gonna go and we're gonna watch the episode Those Old Scientists. I want you to think really hard about those letters.
TOS. Oh, fuck.
Scientists. We're gonna go watch that. Marie and I are gonna go watch it. The audience hopefully knows. It's one of my favorite episodes. It's one of my comfort episodes. It became a comfort episode the second I saw it.
Oh my god.
And I watch it all the time when I don't know what to do about the world and the state of it.
Too often sciencing. Alright, let's go.
So, we watched God, when the fuck did we watch this episode? On Friday?
Oh, true. We already did the- I was ready to do the intro for this right now. This is not the intro. We watched it maybe
on Friday.
What day is it? What day is it? Wednesday?
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday? Wait. No, it's Wednesday.
Wait, what?
Has to be Wednesday.
Oh my god, it's Wednesday. You're so right. Wednesday. You're so right. It is Wednesday. So we watched this on Friday, last Friday. Right?
Yeah.
December 18th? It's almost Christmas.
Megumi?
I gave all of my girlfriend her presents already. All of
Girl.
Them. I got too excited.
No, you can't keep in presents, dude.
I can't. It's really bad. Because who cares?
Who cares?
It's a social construct anyway.
It's true.
But so we watched this episode a week ago, but Morgan says that they remember it.
I do.
We watched for a reminder. Well, I guess you guys don't need a reminder. Because it was like 10 seconds ago for you. We are on winter break. I fully didn't know what day it was just now. I am sleeping a lot. And that's just where we're at right now.
Right. Same.
Heads up. So for the next 40 minutes, you're welcome. Join us on this beautiful, beautiful journey of recapping Those Old Scientists. Strange New Worlds, Those Old Scientists.
Not whatever I thought it was.
What do you mean?
I thought TOS stood for...
Oh, yeah.
Something that I don't remember, but... It was funny.
It was funny. You guys know. You guys just heard it. So whatever that was. Morgan.
Yeah.
Don't do that. What?
Sorry. Yeah. I've been alone for a long time.
You can do whatever you want. I'm just being the character of asshole.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
What did you think of the episode?
I loved this. It took me through some loops. It was like Enchanted, but mm-hmm. Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so fun.
Because, did I tell you that it was a Strange New Worlds episode?
Well, you mentioned when we recorded the intro, you were like, what characters do you remember from Strange New World? What characters do you remember from The Lower Decks? And I was like, huh, that's strange. Why would I have to know both? And then I realized it was a crossover episode.
I was wondering. I should have just, I should have done that better. Not that I did it poorly, but...
No, I kind of liked not knowing that it was... Because I'm a slut for a crossover episode.
No, me too.
So
like growing
it
up,
was
like
a nice
Animal
surprise.
Planet, Sweet Life, and Zack and Cody.
Yes.
What was it? That one, like, what was it? Like, Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and Sweet Life of Zack and Cody? Did a crossover? Was it that?
Sweet Life on Deck. It was Sweet Life on Deck. I think.
I do. But anyway, I feel like it's been trained. I don't fucking remember. Because it had a long name. It was like, oh, it was That's So Raven. It was That's So Raven.
Wait,
Hannah Montana.
Yeah. Yes.
And Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. That's the one with Zack and Cody. Because it was like, That's So Sweet Life of Hannah Montana was the title.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
So I feel like, truthfully, we have been trained since childhood to love a crossover episode.
It's true.
Because
it's true.
So fun to see different worlds collide. But... I don't remember if I told you if this was a Strange New Worlds episode or not, but it does not start with Strange New Worlds.
Right. So I just assumed we were watching another... Because also, like, you had told me, but I just have ADHD, so I didn't put two and two together. That's which so was fun cool. for me because then I had a surprise, so that was fun. But I loved seeing the characters, the animated characters in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're the actual actors, because they do. It's just fun. It's just fun mm-hmm. to see like how it transfers from just voice acting to fully on the screen.
Right. Well, especially because like those actors are not primarily voice actors.
Mm.
I mean, I think they do a lot of voice acting. Like I know Jack Quaid, who is Dennis Quaid's son. He's Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's son, which is fun.
Oh, yes. Good for him.
Right? But he is, like, in The Boys. Do you know that show?
Yeah.
It's, like, that superhero show, but they're, like, bad.
Oh, yeah, yes.
But he's also, like, the voice of, like, is it Superman or something? I think. But, so, like, they both do both, you know? But it was fun to bring them into the human realm for Spark.
Yeah, see, like, how do they animate? That was the biggest thing for me, like, watching it. How do they animate their body as an animated character? Because they do talk about, like, that it's different and that they're like, real. Like, they're not unaware of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun to see, like, how they... movement wise, like what they did and how they did their thing. It's just an acting geek out for me. I was like, ew, yeah. Movement.
Well, because it's so fun, because I think Jack Quaid's first line, so Boimler's first line as a real human life form is literally like, you guys look so realistic, and then yes. He like puts it out.
Yes. He was like, what the heck? I was like, oh. Because I would have the same reaction if I lived in a cartoon. I'd be like, right? What the fuck?
Why are you three-dimensional?
You guys look weird as fuck.
I feel like, did you ever watch The Fairly Odd Parents?
Yes.
Did you ever watch The Fairly Odd Parents movie? The first one with the time travel and like in the TV?
No.
There's a whole sequence where Timmy is going through different forms of animation and he's freaking out because he's like, why am I 3D? He's yes. like, and that's kind of what it reminds me of.
That happens in Inside Out as well.
Oh, when yeah, when they go through the thing. I forgot about that.
It was giving that, yeah.
And, okay, so, what was I going to say? I was going to say something. I feel like, here, I'll just go on a different tangent.
Okay.
You look gorgeous, Morg.
Oh, thank you. I was making faces in the camera.
This is my comfort episode. Like, the second this episode came out, it became my comfort episode because it's just a huge-ass love letter to Star Trek fans.
Yes.
Because Boimler and Mariner when she gets sucked through as well, but Boimler is going through just like seeing all these things that he's nerded out about his whole life, and I swear yes. to God, that's what it's like at like Star Trek conventions and shit, where we're all like, oh my god, it's this, oh my god, like if I ever got to go on a Star Trek set, I would be like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god,
yeah. Yes. Which is that's actually fun. So cute, because I didn't think about that, because I've never been, well, not obviously, no one knows, I've never been to a Star Trek convention before, and yeah. I feel like the first time I go, it has to be with you. Yeah. It has to be.
I would be fucking offended if it wasn't.
No, I know. I would too, honestly. Well,
they're doing another Star Trek Long Island, and I think Terry Farrell's gonna be there.
Oh, yeah, we should definitely.
We should go.
But I feel like that having grown up like with that being your like the thing that you nerd out about the most, like in Boimler, like yeah, I would feel the same way where you go and you're like, ooh, oh my god,
I feel like it would be like because he's knocked unconscious and then he wakes up. I feel like it would be like waking up and being face to face with like Bette Midler and Meryl Streep.
Yes. And like before they were legends.
Yeah.
Which that to me, I was like, oh my God, he's meeting like him and Mariner are meeting like people that they look up to so much before they did the things that they look up to them for.
Yeah.
So I was like, that must be so like encouraging to see like your heroes before when they're like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. Like that that whole scene with Mariner and Uhura.
Yes.
Tell me your thoughts on that, because I know you had them.
Yes. Like what she was trying to translate the thing.
Yeah, and they're like in that room and they're like sitting down together.
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, like,
what the fuck?
Yes. I don't know if I would be able to not say anything about the future, because there's like that rule that you can't give knowledge of the future, which I get, because you're gonna mess with it, and that's like, that would ruin a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could do that. I would be like, oh my God. But I like that scene a lot, because it's like, just look at, I always have to look at it as at an acting perspective, because that's all that I ever do.
That's okay, you're an actor.
It's like, it's such a good scene that between the two girls, because it's like, what a strange relationship to build, of like, this is someone that you look up to, that you've like, you're meeting for the first time. And they have no idea, and you can't tell them shit.
Yeah.
So you just kind of have to act, like, normal, and you just kind of have to, like... But I feel like the actress that did it... What's her name that plays Mariner?
Tawny Newsom.
Yes. I feel like she did a wonderful job of just kind of, like, getting through it and, like, still trying to make friends with her. And, like, I don't know if this is making any sense. I liked the scene, though. I think it was fun to watch, and I bet it was fun to do.
What did you think about the topic of conversation of not just working and like allowing yourself to have breaks and like?
Oh lord! I'm so glad they talked about that. Well, it applies to anything that you are pursuing. Mm-hmm. That's difficult, which is most people's career these days. But if you're actually pursuing something that you're like passionate about, that especially that no one's ever done before, like she's doing in the episode,
mm-hmm.
or at least that no one's done at the capacity that she has or will do. I related to that a lot, because I can be a workaholic for sure, and like not know how to relax and not know how to like take a break and not be working on something 24/7. And it's true, like you do have to take a break and just be like, girl, calm down, have a cup of hot cocoa or whatever they had whenever they went to the bar.
Oh, they, and then they figured an alcohol it out beverage
alcoholic
they had
beverage
O'Brien something.
Yes.
The next time you're in workaholic mode, should I just be like, girl, don't be like young Uhura.
Yeah. And then, a hot beverage.
Have a hot beverage.
And then be fine.
Girl, let's get you a hot beverage.
Girl. Yep, that's what I need, maybe.
No, the whole time we were doing that, or we were watching that scene, I was like, okay. Morgan, take note, you can still be the next Meryl Streep and take a break.
Oh my God. No, it's funny, because I love that you're like, I know you had thoughts on that part. And I was like, ugh.
And you were like, I love the acting. And I was like,
Not me, absolutely not getting the leading question. That's good.
That's okay. That's what I'm here for.
Case in point. I don't know.
What did you think of? I feel like I really don't know where to go with this episode. Like, I feel like we just have to talk about it in bits and pieces.
Yeah, because there's a lot that happens.
Because there's a lot going on. There's a lot happening. What did you think about? Wait, I am curious how you thought of this at first. What did you think of Boimler's reaction to number one?
Who's number one?
The girl, the woman in the yellow uniform with the long brown, or like dark brown hair.
Oh, yeah, that he had a poster of.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they were really weird about it, all of them. Because they made it seem like it was a porn poster.
They did. But sort I think of. Mariner did that on purpose because Mariner's a freaking asshole. Mariner did.
And I love her for that. I love her. Love her.
But like, when he first sees her, what did you think? Because he, like, reacted really weird.
I just thought that he, like, had a crush on her or something. But then, right? Yes. But then I think he does. Like, it seems like, yeah. I feel like he does.
He's obsessed with her. He's in love with her. That's okay.
He's in love with her. It must be. Because then she was like, oh my god, I feel like something bad happened to me because of how he reacted. And I was like, bitch, he just wants to fuck.
And that's okay. And you know what?
That's better. It's better than something horrible happening.
Right? I feel like when I first watched it, I was like, oh no, Una Chin Riley turns evil. Like, I was so convinced for like the first couple times.
You know, that's true also because we don't know, since this is the newest Star Trek, we don't know, like, it's not finished being made yet.
Yeah.
So we don't know what can happen to those characters.
Exactly. But so then,
that's fun. I didn't even take that into consideration.
But I was literally like, she's gonna go evil. But then after a little bit, I was like, oh no, he's just fully in love with her. And that's because the way that I can best describe Boimler's reaction to Una Chin Riley is gay panic. Now I know he's a straight man and she is a woman. However, that is how I feel like lesbians react to hot women as well. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just like, hi, oh god, you know?
Yeah, Boimler is giving lesbian.
I think Boimler is like an honorary lesbian purely because of the way he like just reacts to things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm convinced.
I'm all stuffed up.
Oh no.
It looks like I'm crying, but I'm not. It's just because I had to sneeze and it went away.
Oh no. That's the worst.
Don't worry.
I wasn't, but now that you say that, you do kind of look like you're crying.
I know. It's just been really hard.
Be alone with a dog.
I'm just so happy for Boimler.
I'm so happy for his gay panic.
His gay panic. I love Boimler. I feel like, I want to ask you a question.
Oh.
What, yeah, I'm flipping the script. What is your favorite, like, out of the two, Mariner and Boimler, like, how do I word this? Like, relationship, or like, interaction, I guess, with the people from Strange New World. Like, what do you think is the best interaction?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay, I'm gonna cheat just a little bit, but you'll understand what I mean.
Okay.
My favorite is when they're both in Captain Pike's, like, quarters, and Boimler is talking about, like, Mariner's, like, he dressed up as you for Halloween.
Yes, yes, I do love that part.
Like, I just love that she's like, I just don't think Boimler could handle getting in trouble from the guy that he, like, dressed up as Halloween last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And Pike is like, what, really? And Boimler was like, yeah, it was a lot of contouring. It just, Especially because, like, Anson Mount is so hot. And, like, not that Jack Quaid isn't, but it's just, like, they're different kinds of, like, attractive. Yeah. And Anson Mount is very, like, sharp man attractive.
Yeah.
And Jack Quaid is, like, young boy. Like, not young, but he's not a boy. He's a young man attractive.
No, but he's, like, nerdy. Nerdy.
He's, like, nerdy and lanky and, like,
yeah.
Anson Mount is, like, hot.
Yeah.
And so I love the interaction of, like, because I can imagine Boimler as a cartoon, and I think that they actually, like, I feel like they animated this at one point, but I can picture Boimler wearing, you know when little kids are dressing up as their favorite superhero, and they wear the muscle torso?
Yes.
Like, I feel like Boimler would wear that to dress up as Captain Pike.
Definitely. I hope so. I hope so.
What's especially your favorite?
Probably Boimler and Spock when they were trying to build honestly every interaction, because it, like, Boimler's just like and Spock is like, okay.
Like, the end. I think I heard on a podcast episode that at the very end, when Boimler, when Spock is saying goodbye, I don't know, sorry, I'm distracted. When Spock is saying goodbye and they're on the transporter pad, and then he, like, looks at Boimler and is like, live long and prosper. And then Boimler goes, you also long live. Like, he, like, can't say it.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't think that was planned.
No. There are definitely moments that I feel were improv in the best way. Of, like, especially when you've been working on a character for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they start, especially, I guess, in, like, voiceovers and stuff, they, like, ad lib, like, that's part of it, is you, like, ad lib. So I feel like there are definitely moments in there that people say things in character that were not scripted, and those are the best moments. Those are the best moments, because then the other actor is like, has to actually in real time take that in and, like, do something about it.
Oh yeah.
Or not, but you still have to take it in and, like, choose something. So yeah. Those moments are fun to watch, because it's like, ooh, it's like a little theatrical in the camera.
Well, it's so fun too, because, like, Star Trek as a franchise is notorious for not allowing actors to improv at all. Like, they are notorious for, like, you have to be as dead letter perfect with Star Trek as with fucking Shakespeare. Like wow. They, to the point where I know that, like, on sets and stuff, if they literally said, like, this instead of that, they would have to, like, call up to the production office and get it approved. Like, it's like, it was, like, crazy. So now in the newer generation, it's kind of fun to know that they're actually getting the chance to improv. Because you cannot tell me that most of the Boimler-Mariner interactions in this episode were improv. Like, hot Spock, that could have been improv'd.
Definitely.
Hot Spock.
Definitely.
Like, come on.
Yes. Oh my god. See, that's really fun that you say that then, because it's like, then people are... It's like a new era.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that, like, Tawny Newsome has had conversations with, like, older Star Trek actors that were, like, acting in the 90s that are like, you can improv? And she's like,
yeah.
Yep. And they're like, whoa. Incredible.
Man, I'm just looking at the picture you sent me.
That's him dressed up as Pike.
That's really cute. He looks like him.
He totally has fake muscles on, though. Yeah. He totally has fake muscles.
For sure. On. For sure.
And that's Mariner as Uhura. Because that's kind of what Uhura looks like in the original series. Not the one we watched, but the OG.
Oh, I love it.
This is totally off topic. Have you ever had corned beef and hash?
Maybe like a long, long, long time ago.
Callie and I this weekend made a vegan version of it.
Oh, how?
With Beyond Beef.
Oh.
Beyond ground beef, but this is what it looks like. And we can make eggs too. Anyway.
Yum. Looks good.
What else? Okay, so they go, hold on. Okay, let's talk about the plot.
Okay.
So they go through the portal.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm so sorry. I feel like this is a rough episode where we're just kind of talking about our favorite parts. So sorry.
So sorry, we're on break.
We are on break. We are not required to have logic right now, so I feel like
it's all gone.
It's not there. But that's okay. Okay. So the plot. Boimler and Mariner. Well, first Boimler's there alone. So they go to that time portal thing and they're taking scans. And then Boimler decides to take a picture.
Right.
And then he like gets sucked up.
Yeah, because they just go there for like the fun of it.
Yeah,
like and Mariner pretends like she doesn't want to go, but she does.
Mariner is such a big nerd, but she's like, I'm a playing cool nerd.
Yeah, I like her.
I knew you'd like Mariner. Mariner's the best. She's so fun. Tendi's my favorite. We need to watch more episodes just without recording like a podcast, just watching episodes with Tendi at the helm because I love Tendi. But I am Tendi, which is so embarrassing because Tendi is so uptight and people pleasy, but you know what? So am I. It's fine. It's a work in progress. Anyway. So Boimler gets sucked up alone.
Yeah.
And he immediately is like face to face with freaking Spock. And then he he gets the Orion Pirates, the science vessel, quote unquote. It was not a science vessel. Let's get that straight.
I don't think so. They were acting very, very sketchy.
They were so suspicious and then they stole the thing.
Yeah. But regardless.
But he was trying so hard not to be racist.
I know. He was like, guys, we can't say that anymore.
Which is so funny because it's so exemplary of like our generation now. Mm-hmm. Like my mom is a very like liberal accepting person, still says shit sometimes where I'm like, Mom, you can't fucking say that.
Yes.
And she's like, why? And I tell her why. And then she's like, oh, my bad. Won't happen again. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But it's just like, I feel like this scene was like a love letter to that. Maybe this whole thing was like a love letter to the different generations of Star Trek fans.
It does feel like it, because they talk a lot about like the generational gaps of like things that they have now in real time and like that they don't have, or like rules or things that just work differently.
Mm-hmm.
That this is just natural for humanity, the growth of it.
Even when he's like, they want to track the Orions to get the portal back so that he can go back. They like don't know how to track Orions, but he's like, I got you, babes.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite Boimler interaction of the episode. When he's like, I can track them, and they're like, we literally can't. And he's like, what if you just don't look?
Just don't look.
And they're I'll all like, can we just not look? Can we do that? And then they're all turned, and then it cuts to them all just turned around like, what? Like, oh, that is the best.
Yes. That was very funny.
Because it's so true. What if they just don't look?
What if they... And they were like, wait. Yeah. Definitely one of my favorite parts. That was funny.
It's so good. And then they get it back. And then Mariner comes through because Mariner tried... I was trying to save him.
She was trying... Yeah, definitely.
And then they just got more stuck.
And then, that would be so scary, though. To, like, get stuck in a different time before your time.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like, oh... I mean, it would be hard to be stuck in a time ahead of your time as well. But just, like... knowing the things that you know and being stuck and not being able to say anything.
At that point, I feel like you'd just become either like a full whistleblower for the future or you'd like just go off and live alone somewhere in the middle of it, which is I think what they were planning to do.
They have to go off the grid. I was like, no, I would.
Oh yeah, Mariner was so anti being off the grid.
And girl, same. I was like, I'm right with you. I don't want to go off the grid either.
I feel like I want to be like half on, half off the grid.
Yeah, I guess it like if I could choose when.
Like I don't want to have to deal with the daily struggle of capitalism, but I do want Wi-Fi.
True. Yeah. Yeah, that's like really
homestead, so but it has to be a Victorian mansion.
Yeah.
But and I also need Wi-Fi.
I also need Wi-Fi and I also need someone else to wake up and take care of the animals. If it's homestead, isn't homestead like a farm?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But, like, homestead, Victorian mansion, maybe it's not a big one, though.
Maybe a few horses.
Like chickens, horses, and, like, a cow.
Just one cow.
Just one cow.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't think I'd drink the cow's dairy or whatever. I would just kind of pet it, and like a dog, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. They're cute. Cows are very cute.
They're like big puppies.
They roll around in the dirt. This is going so off topic, but
it's so on topic. We're talking about the grid.
I'm trying to dive into Mariner's psyche here.
So they,
I feel like Mariner would not like,
and then they get caught.
Yeah,
and then they figure it out. They figure out that's when they're taking a Captain Pike's quarters.
Yes, yes.
Talking about Halloween, and then they're like, wait, we need this material? Well, this material is on your ship.
Yep.
Plot twist.
Also, let people throw you a party.
Also, yeah, because you don't know Pike's storyline, but he does... Does he... I'm a little muddy on it, because I haven't seen all of the original series, but he, like, essentially sacrifices himself to save people. I can't remember if he dies or if he just ends up sad and alone and in a wheelchair thing.
Oh, which is, Lord.
And he knows that, though. He knows his future. That's what he was talking about. He was like, I know what happens to me, guys. Like, you don't have to. And they're like, okay, well, if you know what happens, then let people love you, kind of thing.
Yeah, get in the fucking soup, buddy.
Get in the soup. Callie and I are bringing back the soup because we stopped mentioning the soup and we both we're bringing it back.
Bring it back.
The soup, for those of you that are listening, are when you don't want to... The soup is love. The soup is support, and the soup is people caring about you. And sometimes you're like, no, I don't want to be... Get in the fucking soup.
Yeah, get in the soup. It can be uncomfortable sometimes, but it's nice.
Right? Sometimes it feels too hot.
Yeah, sometimes it's a little too many chunks in there, but
you get used to it.
But then when you get in there, it's like, oh, kind of like them.
And then you like the soup.
Yeah.
So everybody get in the soup.
Get in the soup. If you're soupless, get a soup and get in it.
Mm-hmm. Your friends are providing the soup. You just need to ask about it.
Yes, you just, yeah.
It's not even on the secret menu. They're kind of just standing there holding the soup.
You just have to accept it.
You just have to accept the soup. Pike needs to accept the soup. Is that going to be our episode?
He sure does. He sure does. And you know who else needs to accept the soup?
Who?
Spock. And you know who else? Mariner.
Mm-hmm. They all need to accept the soup.
And also, Uhura.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They all need to get in the soup.
You're so right. Everyone get in the soup.
I was gonna sneeze.
So this is the second time that your brain has not let you sneeze?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. I'm really sorry.
It's okay.
But anyway, get in the soup, everybody.
Get in the soup.
Oh my god, my friend is in Paris.
Anyway. Ooh.
Okay, so then they figure it out because of the... Oh yeah, that's also a really good interaction when they're trying to figure out... When they get that piece of metal from the ship that was from the previous ship.
Yeah.
And then Uhura and Ortegas start nerding out about that ship's crew.
Right.
Because then you just see it's this little cute cycle of everybody being like...
You did so good. I love you so much.
Like, we're all just little nerds that are doing our best.
Yeah. Yes. You know? I also liked that, oh, fuck, I'm so bad at the names. The girl that he has a poster of.
Number one.
Yes. How she was so flattered at the fact that he, like, that she was, like, cool, and they were like, my god, we really look up to you. And she was like, really? They made a poster out of that? My god. Because it's like, you never, as the person in that position, you never think of it like that, you know, like.
Right.
You never, legends never think of themselves as a legend. So you're like, oh my god, really? I can't believe it.
People like that I said that?
Yeah, and it's like, oh my god, like, they have no idea the impact and, like, the...
They're just doing their
best. Effect. Yeah, they're just doing their best. And you never know how many people that reaches, so it's nice to, like, hear it. But I love that they showed that in the episode, that she wasn't like, oh yeah, thanks. She was like, wait, really? My god. Because I was like, that's how I would be, too. Because that's how everyone is. That's literally how everyone is.
Because it's like, when you realize that the words that you say have a positive effect, it's so like, what?
Yes, because you never know that, necessarily.
Especially if you're the kind of person that's not, like, trying to be...
Yeah, yeah.
The type of way, you're just, like, chilling, trying to make people happy.
Yes.
Just doing your best and just trying to live your life.
Yeah.
Then it's suddenly like, what?
It's like, oh.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. So I liked that they showed that, because that was... They were real for that.
Yeah. Then Boimler and... Oh, they give credit to the Orion scientists for finding the portal.
Yes, they do, which was... Created peace amongst the land. Or the, not the land, but the space, the galaxy. I don't know.
I don't know if it did, but it did do a good job. And it was, I do like when time travel things come back and are like, because at the beginning of the episode, Tendi is like, dude, Orion scientists discovered this portal. What the fuck are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, that can't happen. But then you realize that the reason why the world thinks that Orion scientists discovered this is because Boimler and Mariner went back in time and told Pike that you can't assume that people, like, they caused that piece of history. Which is so, I am such a fucking nerd for time travel shit where it's, like, wraps around like that.
Me too, because I feel like you miss an opportunity if you don't add something like that. Mm-hmm. Where they do affect the future somehow.
Right, like, they had affected it this whole time, like, as they were, this is so...
Yeah, it just hadn't happened yet.
Yes. But it did, because... And then it hurts my brain, and then I stop thinking about how cool it is.
But it's cool.
But it's cool. Anything else?
I'm trying to think of another question for you.
Well, we're almost out of time. You can ask me a question if you want to.
What would you rate this episode? how do you say it? You do that.
I feel like we're stealing this from Where's Bev podcast. How many
hot spots?
How many hot spots? I give it 10 hot spots. I love this episode.
I also give it 10 hot spots. I don't know if I've given one 10 yet.
You haven't.
But I did thoroughly enjoy this episode.
It's a really good episode.
And even though I've never seen it, it felt nostalgic to watch it.
Right?
So I, like,
that... Because you're seeing other people experience nostalgia, therefore it is nostalgic, and therefore it is my favorite comfort episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I see why.
All right, Morgan.
Okay,
Who was your favorite character this episode?
Mariner.
Why?
Because she kept it so real, and even in the face of her hero, she was like, girl, you need to take a break. And she helped her out.
What if that's another, like, causality thing where Mariner was like, bitch, take a break, and then Uhura starts having fun?
Yeah. Because she was like, you know how to have fun. And she's like, I don't think I do. And she was like, you created her own hero. And she, yeah, she was the reason why. So is that she knew how to have fun. Girl. Yeah, Mariner. MVP of the episode.
I agree. My least favorite character in this episode was Nurse Chapel. I must say.
I don't even remember Nurse Chapel in this.
Nurse Chapel is just so simpy after...
so true. Yeah, she really... She was like, what? She was like, oh my
God. And I love Nurse Chapel in other contexts, but this is not her shining moment.
No, it's sure not.
That's why... Her musical episode was my favorite.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, I like her in that one.
All right, let's wrap it up.
Wrap it up like a Christmas gift. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
If you celebrate it.
If you celebrate it. If you don't, I hope you have a great winter season, and I hope you still get presents for other reasons.
Yeah, me too.
All right, you can find us on Instagram at Brides of Chaotica Pod. And if you want to email us, you can email us at bridesofchaotica@gmail.com. Tune in next week to find out what episode I'm going to force someone to watch next. I think next week is going to be my girlfriend, actually.
Woo!
A partner peek.
Caliph. Huh.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Somehow I feel comfortable here.
Editing room, Taylor, again. So I honestly have just started kind of leaving in the bloopers because, I don't know, it's kind of fun that way. So if you actually keep listening to this and you make it all the way to the end, I will simply tell you about our special guest that I'm going to have on the show in a couple of weeks. Oh my God. Sorry. My cat is going crazy right now. Thomas. Anyway, we're going to have a special guest on the show in a couple of weeks, a special bonus episode. It's going to be different than anything we've done on Brides of Chaotica before. I will be interviewing solo without Elizabeth. I will be interviewing Carolyn McCormick, who was the actress that played Minuet in Star Trek The Next Generation for a couple of episodes with Riker. So that will be fun. We're just going to kind of talk about the acting career as it walks hand in hand with Star Trek, and different experiences that she had. So stay tuned for that. If you made it this far, Godspeed. Thank you for listening. And don't tell the people that don't listen this far that we're going to have a special guest. They're going to be so surprised and you're going to be so cool because you knew already. Okay, bye.